Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over this long period of time, and some of you have followed me almost from the very beginning of these studies, over this long period of time, we've been thinking together from an important book in the New Testament known as the Epistle to the Galatians. This church in Galatia, in these four different cities, the churches, I should say, there in Galatia, in these four different cities, were churches that had been reached by Paul in his first missionary journey. Paul is very concerned for these people. He loves these people very dearly, and now he's writing to them in this book of Galatians. The Apostle Paul had had great success evangelistically in these four cities, the city of Iconium, of Antioch, of Pisidia, and Derbe and Lystra. He had had great success, but the problem was that in every city there had been intense persecution. And so the Apostle Paul had not been able to spend much time in any city. And after winning people to the Lord, he had no opportunity to really build them up in the faith. And this meant that when Paul finally went back to Antioch of Syria, back to his home church, in other words, north of Palestine there, when he went back to Antioch of Syria, false teachers could easily come into these churches, come in among the people, and teach them false teaching. And the false teaching, as we've been studying in the book of Galatians, that the false teachers had been teaching, was the fact that they were teaching that we're under the law, we're under the law of Moses. And if we're not following the law, perhaps we're not even going to be saved, or we won't keep our salvation, or we will have no direction for our Christian lives. And this, of course, was entirely false. We're not under the law of Moses anymore, no matter what people are teaching you. There are very popular people who are teaching you, yes, we are under the law of Moses and we're to follow it faithfully, or else God would judge us for not following the law of Moses. And so this teaching was being taught to the Galatians. And in these four chapters, the first four chapters of the book of Galatians, he teaches them very, very strongly that the law has fulfilled its purpose. Now remember, the law was holy. It is holy before God. It expressed the holiness and the righteousness of God, but the law was never intended to be a means of salvation. Rather, it was to prepare the Jewish nation, the people of Israel, for the coming of their Messiah. Someday the Messiah would come. Actually, it would be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years after Moses first gave the law from God. But the Messiah would someday come, and so we're looking by faith to that day. So the law showed them their sinful condition, their need of a Savior, and then the sacrificial system pointed to His sacrifice on the cross, when He would be the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. Taken from John 1:29, that passage, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And so the Jewish people needed the law in their day. However, when Christ came, this is taught in Galatians 3 and 4, when Christ came, completed His work by the offering Himself on the cross, the work of the law was complete. In other words, the purpose of the law had been fulfilled. And now we're no longer under the teacher that taught the Jewish nation in the Old Testament. We're not under that teacher anymore. Now we're under the grace of God, under the salvation brought through the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first four chapters have been dealing with the subject of, are we under the law of Moses anymore? And chapter 5 is going to deal with a question, picking it up from chapter 4, are we living our Christian lives by the law of Moses? Is this the guide, the way we live our Christian lives? Some have tried this. Some in our day say, well, I have faith in the Lord Jesus, but I can't live my Christian life in any other way except by following these hundreds of precepts of the Old Testament law. And this, of course, is false teaching. In Galatians chapter 5, he's teaching we live by the Spirit. We live by the Spirit of God. He is our teacher. He is our guide. He is also the one who empowers us, gives us victory over sin, and so forth. This is taught very clearly in Romans chapter 8, in the book of Ephesians chapters 4, 5, and 6, in the book of Colossians chapters 3 and 4, and in other passages of Scripture. We live by the Spirit of God. And then we came into chapter 6 of the book of Galatians, and chapter 6 is teaching us the practical side of the Christian life. First of all, we had the whole question of restoring somebody who has sinned, this idea of reaching out to others with sin problems in their lives and helping them come through these problems of sin by the spiritual counsel we can give them and so forth. And then it also dealt with the whole matter of bearing one another's burdens, of carrying the burdens that other people have. And people in our bodies of believers, if you're a Christian and you belong to a good church, people in these bodies of believers have needs. And sometimes these needs are very urgent, needs of sorrow in their family, financial difficulties, and other problems that they're facing. So we reach out and we help carry the burdens of many of these people. He's going to go on then, and he's going to talk about this idea of the way we take care of pastors. It's also going to talk about the decisions we make in sowing and reaping, whether we're living righteously and sowing that way or living unrighteously and sowing that way, and then the harvest we reap according to the decisions we make. Now we've come down to verse 9, and I want to talk about verses 9 and 10, and I want to read this for you from Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 has this to say, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Now, I want to talk a little bit about in this lesson from verses 9 and 10. Reaching out to others in the body of believers. And I want to point out again, we talked about this a little bit earlier, about carrying the burdens of other people. In verse 1, about helping people who have sinned and who need to have advice and counsel concerning those things. So we've talked a little bit about this before. But now we're coming back to this subject of doing good to other people and helping other people, and lifting other people up in their lives. And I want to talk about this for a few minutes. There is always danger that God's people will lose heart in living righteously and sowing always to the Spirit. Many times we grow weary in the Christian lives. He's dealing with this in verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. And so people do become weary. They become weary of the responsibilities of the Christian life, of the work of the church, of reaching out to other people, always dealing with other people's needs. And sometimes people come to the point where they simply want to abandon the whole responsibility they have. And I want to emphasize this truth again and again. As long as we live, we are to live for the Lord. As long as we live, we're to live also on behalf of other people. As long as we live, we're to live in ways that represent the Lord Jesus as we live in this world. So, for instance, in a family, a mother and father may have children. I have a daughter who has 7 children. I have a friend who has 10 children. Most of our families will not have so many children. But I have a friend who's a missionary actually in Germany. And this man has 10 children. And these children are a tremendous responsibility. You can imagine how weary the mother and father must feel. Now, in that case, the case with 10 children, they're homeschooling their 10 children. 3 of them now, to be fair, are in university, but the other 7 are still home being homeschooled. You can imagine the daily burden that this man and wife face as they train these children, raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and so forth. I know the burden my daughter has as she raises her 7 children. And 5 of them now at home. 2 are already in university, but 5 of them are still home. She's homeschooling them. So sometimes people become weary. I'm thankful that my friend and my daughter are not weary. They're faithfully doing their job. My daughter and my son-in-law are doing their job faithfully before the Lord. But sometimes we grow weary of this. It may be family responsibilities. It may be church responsibilities. We become weary even with living our Christian lives before others. In other words, sometimes we live our lives and people don't seem to respond, even though we live them faithfully for the Lord. We live them righteously for the Lord. People don't seem to respond. And we simply grow weary in living our lives in this way. And the point of this passage is that with the help of God, with the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we need not be weary in living our lives before others. Now, this passage, especially as we come down to verse 10, as we there have opportunity, verse 10, let us do good unto all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith. There is members of our own body of believers. Let us do good toward them. Let us spend our lives and expend our energies on behalf of other people. I know people like this who've been doing this for years and years and years. They have faithfully been reaching out to other people. They're known for this. Until the very day when they die and go to face the Lord Himself, they've been reaching out to other people. And I'm convinced that such people are going to receive their reward from God. Some people may have a ministry of prayer in reaching out to other people. Day by day, they unceasingly pray for other people. Other people do it by action. They'll actually reach out with help. They'll share their food, their own resources with other people. They'll share their encouragement, their advice, their counsel with other people. In various ways, they're reaching out to help others in the body of believers. And I want to emphasize again and again, there will always be people in need. No matter how long we live, even in the body of believers, we may say, well, these people have the Holy Spirit, they have the Word of God, why can't they live their own lives? No, there are people who are defeated, people who need help, people who are weaker in the faith, they may be younger brothers and sisters in the faith, but there will always be people with needs. And so, it's a responsibility of Christians to reach out to them. Now, I want to say that one of the tests for the Christian life will be how they have sowed with their lives in the field to which they might be limited. Now, in the last lesson, we talked about sowing and reaping righteously or unrighteously. Now, that's interior in our lives. It's in the inside of our lives. And this sowing and reaping is going to be on the outside of our lives, the responsibility we have to sow and reap to those around us. First of all, to the unsaved. We're sowing the Word of God with the unsaved. We're sharing with them the testimony of the Word of God. I know here at the Harvest Baptist Church, in the lobby of the church, there are tracts that you can take, little booklets you can take. You can take and give them out to other people. Some of them deal with the Christian life. Most of them probably deal with salvation itself, how to be saved, how people can know that they're truly saved from their sins. And so these little booklets are for people to take along with them. In other words, pick up 5 or 6 of them from the lobby of the church. Take them with you. Give them out to taxi drivers, to workmates, to schoolmates, and so forth. Help these people to understand the truth. So we're sowing with people around us. But I think this passage is especially talking about sowing to those in the church itself. In other words, what we sow is what we're going to reap. So when there is going to be sowing, there can be success. For instance, when I counsel someone, I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit will take the counsel that I give them. I'm giving them the counsel by the help of the Holy Spirit, by the wisdom the Holy Spirit gives me, but I'm also trusting that the Holy Spirit will use that counsel in their lives to help them through their problems. My wife and I do a great deal of counseling. We counsel Bible school students here at Harvest. We're counseling sometimes faculty members on the staff here who need advice about one thing or another. And we're trusting that the Holy Spirit is going to use the counsel that we give, the efforts that we expend. They come sometimes at all hours of the day and night, and we welcome this. Don't misunderstand what I just said. I'm not complaining about them coming at all hours. But I'm simply saying that it's the Holy Spirit then that will take the help we give to other people and use it in their lives. Suppose a person shares his means, his financial resources. He may share his food with other people. We're praying that this will bear fruit in their lives, that they will see the Lord Jesus in our lives. This may lead them either to the saving knowledge of the Lord if we're sharing with unsaved people, or if we're sharing with Christians, it may lead them themselves to deeper devotion to the Lord, greater love for Him, greater desire to please Him in their own lives, as God has helped them through their difficulties, through our help to them. And so there are many, many ways that we sow in the lives of other people. It may be simply through sharing the word with them. It may be through counsel. It may be through some sacrifice on our part, where we actually are sharing our means with them. Whatever it is, we are sharing with them our lives, and we're sowing in their lives. And so these people need the help that we can give them. And they are going to benefit by this help, and perhaps the help that we give them as we dedicate our lives for this purpose. And I want to emphasize this idea of dedication of life for this purpose. You have to be committed to it on a lifetime basis. You have to be absolutely sincere in committing your life to the Lord in this manner. But when we do it on a lifetime basis, it's going to bear fruit. It surely will bear fruit before God. Now, I've completed this section, and I just have a couple of minutes left. And I want to emphasize that we're coming now to the conclusion of this book. Verses 11 to 18 will be the conclusion. It's going to close with a benediction in verse 18. It is going to be the conclusion. So perhaps in the next two lessons, we'll be finishing this study of the book of Galatians. But let me just introduce it just for a moment right now. In verses 11 to 17, Paul is going to talk about his unwavering and unashamed stand for the true gospel. And what an important truth Paul is teaching here in this passage. As you come down to verse 11 and so forth, Paul is going to talk about his own stand. Now, when he writes this book, Paul is still rather young in the ministry. He's not a young man, but he's only completed his first missionary journey. It would be many years before Paul would die. In fact, it would be about 20 years before he would die and go to be with the Lord. So he was going to have 20 more years of service for the Lord, beginning with the writing of this book of Galatians. This is 48 A.D. He's going to die perhaps in 66 or 67 A.D. So he's going to have another 20 years of fruitful service for the Lord. But already the Apostle Paul has suffered much persecution. He has suffered much for the Christ, for the Lord. He has sacrificed many things for the sake of the Lord Jesus in order to minister for him and to be faithful to him. And this is going to be the standard of Paul's life for the rest of his life, for the next 18, 19 years. This is going to be the testimony of his life, that he's willing to expend himself completely in the work of God, in preaching to others, in reaching out to others, in helping people be saved, to live the Christian life, and settle their problems before God. So Paul, in this passage, verses 11 to 17, is talking about this unwavering and unashamed stand for the true gospel. Now, I want to emphasize this in closing. I just have a minute left, and let me just emphasize this in closing. We live our lives not up and down, as many people seek to live them. There are some days they're very victorious, very successful. The next day they may be down, or one year they may be very victorious for the Lord, and then the next year not so. We live our lives consistently and faithfully to the very end, so that when we face the Lord Jesus, we're not ashamed. We finish the course, in other words, as Paul mentions in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, I must finish the course. So the living of our lives is a lifelong thing, and we Christians must be committed and dedicated to living our lives to the very end. So it's my prayer, as I close this particular lesson, that first of all, you will know the Lord Jesus truly as your Savior from sin. Not simply be religious. Be faithful in your church, following the sacraments and the teachings of your church, maybe praying to other people and so forth. But you will truly know Him. And then in knowing Him, you will follow Him with all your heart until the very end. May the Lord help you, each one.